What's up, Oos? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me, about to get them, all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie and Rex Road, presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty, helping home buyers and sellers in Middle Tennessee for 20 years. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser here with you on this Thursday morning. We'll have Mike Wilson from the Knoxville News Sentinel coming up at 7:30. We'll get into all things Tennessee Vols with him. Charles Robinson from 8 to 8:30 from Yahoo Sports, talking all things NFL. We'll get into DeAndre Hopkins and more with him as well. So looking forward to all that. I got some tickets to give away, a pair of tickets to see John Fogerty at First Bank Amphitheater coming up on July 25th. Be caller number 3-615-737-1025. Caller number 3 will win a pair of tickets to see John Fogerty at First Bank Amphitheater coming up on July 25th. 615-737-1025. So Joe, a tough loss for you yesterday on Jared versus Joe. And you had what Jared and Caroline considered to be a hot take yesterday regarding the Tennessee Volunteers and maybe what their future could look like in the college football playoff when the college football playoff expands to 12 teams. What did you have to say yesterday on Jared versus Joe?
Well, first of all, I'll give you two takes. And you know, I'll give you two takes. One on Tennessee, one on Vanderbilt. You tell me which is crazier, if either of them are.
Okay.
So my Vanderbilt one, which I wrote yesterday in The Athletic, is that Clark Lee will have three straight winning seasons at Vanderbilt, which, I mean, a lot of people be like, oh, okay. Hasn't happened since the 1950s. So
I like that.
It's not easy. I mean, it's not easy.
We're talking at least 7-5, 3 years in a row.
Right.
Cool.
And by the way, those three win seasons all had included five wins. It was like 5-2-3. 5-3-2. How weird. Anyway, my Tennessee take, which they lost their minds on yesterday, is that Josh Heupel, and this is a hotter take, I would say, but Josh Heupel will have Tennessee in the 12-team college football playoff four times in the first 10 years of its existence.
Okay.
Like, they went nuts about it. And Caroline's like, well, they've never entered the playoff. I'm like, there's never been a 12-team playoff. Let me ask you this before you answer.
Okay.
I want you to also answer, and I should have said this yesterday, but I want you to tell me the last time that Tennessee had a smart AD, a competent football coach, all of the other conditions in place to succeed.
The early 2000s.
Okay. There we go.
They were pretty good back then, by the way, too.
Yeah, like back then, they make 4-team playoffs just about every year. They certainly make 12-team playoffs every year, right? Yeah. In fact, I'm going to go back and to that era. I'm glad you brought that up because they're in a 12-team playoff back in the height of the Fulmer era, like every year.
Exactly.
I'm not saying they're guaranteed to be back to what the height of the Fulmer era, but you don't have to be great to be in a 12-team playoff.
I mean, four times would be a lot in that stretch. I don't think it's like out of the realm of possibility, though. I mean, look, Tennessee, they finished number 5 in the country this past year, so there would be one. They're recruiting really well. We're good in that. Here in just a few minutes, they had a gigantic recruit that they landed yesterday. So the quarterback position continuing to recruit well. Not only with just Nico, by the way, they continue to recruit well at quarterback beyond just Nico. So, I mean, as long as he's there, I mean, that's where the premise of the question comes from. Like, if Heupel's still there, I see no reason at this point why the recruiting is just going to stop or that the offense is not going to be successful. So, you know, I understand 4 times in 10 years to make the college football playoff is a lot, but when you move it from 4 to 12, even though I don't necessarily love that, it's not a – much easier thing to get into when you've got a 12-team playoff. So I don't think it's crazy 4 out of 10 years.
Okay. So you're kind of in between. Because I think I feel great about it. Like I'm with both of them. Caroline, Jerry, like I said yesterday, let's have a wager. I mean, I know that, like, will I still be alive by the end? You know, I mean, who knows, right?
But I mean, they could go 4 for 4. But they could go 4.
That's right. They could go 4 for 4, and I've won. So Jared started going through, you know, he went through like last year's top 12 or whatever. Like, okay, Tennessee or this team? Tennessee. And it's like, yeah, look, I would put Alabama ahead of Tennessee.
Sure. Georgia.
Long term, I would put Georgia ahead of Tennessee. You know, he brought up LSU. I think they're going to be good under Brian Kelly. I think they're going to also be in the playoff multiple times, you know, but I don't necessarily look at LSU and say, absolutely, they got a better projected near-term future than Tennessee does. I think it's close. Notre Dame, I gave Tennessee the nod on that. And look, Clemson is a big thing to me right now. Like, they're starting to win recruiting battles against Clemson.
They are.
They went a long time where they were like, it's just not happening. They messed up the Trevor Lawrence thing or whatever. Whatever happened with Trevor Lawrence. I mean, you probably mess it up more than anything just by not being good, yeah, right? Well, they're starting to win important recruiting battles. Clemson's momentum is going the other way, and Tennessee's kind of filling a little bit of that void right now. Those teams have always recruited a lot of the same areas. Certainly both recruit Georgia very heavily. So, if you're going to recruit as a top 10 team, sure, you may still be behind Georgia and Alabama and all that, and if it's a 4-team playoff, then it's a totally different discussion. A 12-team playoff, the SEC is going to get, in a given year, 3-4 teams, right? And some years, maybe more than that, but they're going to get a handful or so of teams every year now in the 12-team playoff.
Yeah, I mean, look, they've gotten two a few different times in the 4-team playoff. They're going right to get 4, 5 maybe in the 12-team playoff, depending on the year.
So, look, I'm AD, good AD, coach, good coach. It's been 2 years, but I think we can say that. You know, one of the programs that Jared brought up in this was Oklahoma, and I'm like, yes, I'll take Tennessee. Now, granted, if and when they fire Venables and come after Josh Heupel, but Josh Heupel at Tennessee, things going as they are from what everything we know right now, I think it's a, I don't know if it's a slam dunk, but I feel good about it.
LD from McMinnville on the text line says, I really think they overlooked that it will be a 12-team playoff. This is from LD. Chris on the text line says, Jared accusing you of hot takes. Yeah, okay, Jared. I think I just spit up my coffee at such awful accusations. This is from Chris on the text line.
I can have hot takes. We all have hot takes at times.
We all have hot takes.
Some more than others.
Some are a little bit more
way,
frequent.
way more and way, way, way hotter than others. But
look, I mean, if they once this thing expands to 12 teams, I mean, is that not going to be the expectation for Tennessee football? Like, that's when you have a 12-team playoff, the expectation is going to be, especially if Heupel's still there and things are still going the way that they're going right now in terms of recruiting and everything else. I mean, the expectation is that you're going to be in the 12-team playoff. I mean, look, you don't base everything about making a playoff off recruiting rankings either, and I get that. But, you know, there are people out there that believe, that, and we've had them on this show, that if you're going to get in the playoff, you better have a top 10 recruiting class. And that's with a 4-team playoff. With 12, Tennessee's been right around 10. I think right now, depending on which service you look at, they're like at 10, 12, 13. And after yesterday, they probably just moved up based on the five-star they just
five-star receiver.
Yeah.
They beat Georgia 4.
Exactly. So the recruiting is going really well for Tennessee. Like, when this thing flips and it goes to 12 teams, the expectation is going to be for Tennessee to make the 12-team playoff. And it's not going to happen every year.
No.
But all you're saying is 4 out of 10 years.
Right. I mean, there's about, you know, as of now with this 4-team, and this is part of why I had to change, it became the entire focal point of the sport. And how many programs, I mean, a lot of people want to get into it, but like, how many programs realistically, like, you know, like, there's an expectation to be in it, you know, 10 to 12? I know you've had, like, you had a Washington made it a year and Michigan State made it a year, and you have these
TCU
randos. Well, TCU was one of the programs, you know, I think at least one of them, I think Caroline said she would take TCU over Tennessee in that time frame moving forward, which I I mean, I totally disagree. Now, they're going to have an easier time winning.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I disagree with that. I mean, you had about 10 to 12 programs. So now you're going to have, I mean, it's a much bigger pool of programs that are like, okay, like we got to get into this thing. And well, we can. We should feel like we should get into this thing. You know, like Wisconsin. I mean, you can
Florida.
Go,
I mean, Florida's going to be in that.
Absolutely. Yep. Florida's recruiting. Well, I mean, look, there's a lot of SEC programs that are going to aspire to it and in certain years can get in there. I mean, even like in the right year, and Kentucky's had a couple of them, they could sneak in, you know? So it's gonna continue to be the total focal point of the sport. There just aren't that many programs, in my opinion, that are better positioned than Tennessee right now, other than the really, really top of the sport. I mean, like Ohio State, sure.
Yeah.
I mean, they brought up Michigan yesterday. I said, I'm going to go Tennessee. We'll see. I'd go Tennessee over Penn State.
You go Tennessee over Michigan, really?
Yeah, yeah, I do. I mean, obviously, Harbaugh has turned it around here. He's done really good things. But, like, I just think that the overtime Ohio State has been so much better than I understand what happened the last 2 years. I mean, maybe they'll sustain it, and they're just flipping this around permanently. But, yeah, I mean, I think Tennessee will make the playoff more times than Michigan will in that 10-year period.
I think that qualifies as a hot take.
Okay.
I like it. 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. We'll take your reaction, your thoughts on what Joe had to say about Tennessee and the 12-team playoff. We'll also get into the Vols at SEC Media Days later today, talk about their team this season and the expectations for this Tennessee team. All that on the table. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Tune in for Nashville Sounds Baseball tonight on 635 on 94.9 The Fan. Sounds taking on the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp, the AAA affiliate of the Miami Marlins. Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by 312 Pizza Company, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and Family Leisure. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. Streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook. Live from our 1025 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Taking your thoughts on the Vols and Joe Rexroad's hot take of them making the playoff four times in 10 years when it switches to 12. A lot of people are taking some issue with you taking Tennessee over Michigan on the text line. Kyle even says, and I quote, "Ah, Joe, your green and white stripes are showing."
There's
some
is.
Kyle on the text line.
Nah, it's what it is.
Will says, "Wow, WHMR is on fire today." It's from Will from Nashville on the text
line. Welcome to WHMR. How many natties is Hypo going to win this year? Two? I say two.
Hey, look, I don't know that I'm with you on the Michigan front just because I look at Michigan. I hear you on Ohio State, and I'm not convinced that they've like passed Ohio State by anything. But also, when it expands to 12-team playoffs, Michigan's going to have to lose at least twice, maybe three times, to not get in. And I just think they're going to get in a lot.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it kind of comes down to the other aspects of the Big Ten. I mean, they're getting rid of the divisions. They're going to continue to play Ohio State. You know,
big rivalry with USC coming up.
That is right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, California, Big Ten country. Penn State, man, they're better than Penn State. I mean, Penn State can get them at times. You know, Michigan State's not very good. Wisconsin, yeah. I mean, you're right. They do have probably an easier road on a yearly basis. Looking at their path. So maybe that take may have been a little bit toasty. Grigsby says that Michigan bumper sticker really factored into the decision. Well, it's Michigan State.
So,
and by the way, my family forced me to do that. How many times do I have to tell you guys that?
God. By the way, our SEC Media Days coverage sponsored by Volunteer Hose and Gasket and Mercedes-Benz of Music City. Let's go to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Mark in Nashville. Mark, good morning, buddy. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, how you doing, Robbie? Joe? Doing okay, Joe?
I'm okay, man. I'm all right. You know, every once in a while, Jared's got to get one every once in a while, you know, just to keep it interesting.
Oh, Joe, let's just put it out here, man. You were robbed yesterday. I mean, really, you really won that debate. And for Carolina, you know, to base it on the fact that you said Tennessee are getting that new 12-team format maybe four times out of the next, I thought that was kind of – that was a joke, Joe.
I'm with
that
you,
was really
man.
Really a joke, man. Yeah.
Thank you for saying it out loud.
I agree.
I mean,
yeah.
Let's
yeah,
attack Caroline a little bit more on this show.
Yeah. You know, Joe, I might have to start calling Caroline out too, man.
May have to.
And get her on a debate. You know, Steelman, he just keeps.
He's dodging
me. He keeps ignoring me, Joe. He's dodging me. I know what's going on. I'm gonna use the term Robbie used. He's scared of me.
That's right.
That's what it is. But Joe, I'm gonna go above what you said with Tennessee. I'm gonna say five times, maybe even six out of the next couple of years. And like you said, TCU, they do have an easier path, Joe. So Big 12 will be watered down. In that league, they should be able to kind of maybe take control of that with Oklahoma and Texas being gone. Maybe them or Oklahoma State, but Michigan and Ohio State, they will be regularly coming out of the Big Ten.
Yeah, that's true.
And getting into the playoffs or not with this 12-team format. But with the SEC, like you said, Robbie was saying, four teams. I mean, some years.
All right.
I think we lost Mark.
He went to six.
Mark's back.
His phone melted.
Mark, we got you back in there.
Oh, is he back?
Okay.
Oh,
yeah.
We lost you, man.
Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah, I said in the SEC, you might have a Ole Miss or Kentucky, like you were saying. They might get a shot at getting into the playoffs. You never know. And then with Texas and Oklahoma in there, you can't leave them out. So, yeah, but I'm going to go Tennessee six. Five or six times the way they're recruiting right now. That's if Josh Heupel stays.
Yeah,
Joe, you made a real valid point there. If Venables doesn't work out at Oklahoma, and when he comes into, if he makes it into the SEC, that's going to be a tall task for him. He's recruiting pretty good, but that really means nothing. Everybody in the SEC recruits well, and then they're going to have to figure that out. But I think that you're right. If Venables is gone. First phone call they gonna make, and the only phone call they gonna make is up there on the hill, up there in Tennessee, and call Heupel.
Hey, thanks for the call, Mark. We appreciate you, buddy.
All right, see y'all, Robbie. See you, Joe.
Absolutely, hey, Mark in Nashville here with us on the tech. I mean the Venables part of this, and beyond just Heupel, because obviously there's a connection there with Heupel, and he played there, and obviously if he continues to coach this way, I'm sure that Oklahoma would have some interest there. I don't know what Heupel would say, but. The Venables part of this is pretty interesting as they are about to make the transition into the SEC. This is a pretty big year for Venables just because it didn't go very well for Oklahoma. I mean, the back and forth between him and Deion Sanders the other day was pretty good.
Yeah, like
Deion Sanders basically saying that he took over Ferrari and then wrecked the Ferrari. It's good stuff from him the other day. So it's a big year for
Venables. At least Deion Sanders acknowledged knowing who he is. Usually he's like, well, who are you? I've never heard of your name before.
That's right. So it's a big year for Brent Venables in Oklahoma.
It is. I don't know if I agree with Mark that it's the only call. But, yeah, look, if Heupel keeps it going here, and like Nate says in the text line and just what Mark said, yeah, of course. I mean, I think this is a hypothetical that is, hinging on Heupel being the coach. I mean, if you tell me Heupel's going to leave for some other place in 3 years, I don't think he's going to be an NFL guy. But if you tell me he's going to leave, then okay, that changes the discussion.
We've come a long way from that first day Heupel got hired.
Danny White!
Josh Heupel! That's who they hired? Oh, my goodness.
Poor Tennessee. Yeah, good stuff. Good analysis. But I don't know if that's the only call, but that's a fascinating scenario. The Oklahoma not working out with Brent Venables and Heupel keeps going here. I mean, you have to try, right? The question would be, well, there'd be a few questions there. One, like, does Heupel think that it's a better situation than what he has at Tennessee? I mean, take away like the bitterness or all that stuff. That's mostly Bob Stoops, you know. Is it? Is it a better? It's certainly historically, especially since the Fulmer era, way better than Tennessee.
For sure.
But are the conditions actually better?
I don't know. It's a good question.
And they're in the same league now.
They will be. So that's a really, really interesting part of this. I'm going to put you on the spot with a question that may be difficult to answer, but I'm going to do it anyway. As you look at Tennessee's schedule, as you look at the team that we've discussed with them coming back this year, what is Tennessee's ceiling this year? What's Tennessee's floor this year as you look at the team that they bring back?
Man, ceiling is I can't sit here and say it's impossible for them to beat Georgia at home. I can't say it's impossible. Do I think it? Do I think they will? No. But ceiling with Tennessee, I mean, the WHMR is going to need to be a just flashing neon sign, but I think it's 12-0. I don't think
that's what I was going
ceiling
for.
Is. Well, yeah, thank you. Let's just Nashville radio host loses mind on air, but I think that is the ceiling. It's a very lofty way up there. There's the clouds, and then there's the ceiling. But the ceiling is what's possible, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure.
I can't say you can't tell me it's impossible. I think they're probably going to go 9-3 or 10-2. But you can't tell me it's impossible. Their floor, like we've talked about, they have a very easy schedule. So
on the non-conference side.
Yeah.
The ceiling is the roof.
There we go. Thank you. There's four right there. What could they lose? I mean, they could lose a lot of SEC games. They could lose to Texas A&M.
Yep.
They could. I'm not going to. They can't lose to South Carolina.
They can lose to South Carolina.
They're not going to lose to South Carolina.
They can lose to South Carolina.
Okay, they can lose one of
South Carolina. I won't show up to work that week.
Yeah, but. Yeah. They can lose one of South Carolina and Florida, okay? Bama, Kentucky. There's four. At Missouri, I mean the floor is 6-6. Okay? Yeah. So does that, like, take a little bit of the heat off the ceiling, I hope? So I've got them right around the in between. I guess that's probably what it should be, right? Right around in between. They're about 9-3. Maybe 10-2. Maybe 10-2.
I would probably say, I mean, I guess you're right. The ceiling is 12-0, more 11-1. I don't know that I could see them beating Alabama and Georgia in the same year.
But you're not but saying I'm not, what you can see.
I know.
What the ceiling
I know.
Is.
So the ceiling's 12-0. We'll go with that.
Numbing up next on WHMR, Josh Heupel versus Ditka.
I think I've got them. I think my official record going in is 9-3. I think that's where they're going to end up. It's 9-3.
Sounds about right.
I think they'll lose to Bama on the road. I think they'll lose to Georgia, and they're going to drop another one somewhere. And it may be the Texas A&M game. I think is going to be tricky. I don't know if I'm leaning Texas A&M as the one they're going to drop, but they always beat Kentucky on the road. Yeah, I'll go Texas A&M.
When I woke up this morning, I was feeling pretty dangerous.
Okay.
So 9-3 is what I'm going with.
All right. 9-3. So we both agree that Tennessee could go 12-0. That's the main takeaway from this segment. Okay.
And then they're the number one overall seed in the college football playoff.
I think they'd make a 12 team with that, right? Or would they not, Caroline?
I think they would.
I can't go after Caroline too much. She's judging future competitions.
That is true. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Mike Wilson from the Knoxville News Sentinel. We'll get his thoughts on Tennessee's impending national title and more. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keys are here with you on this Thursday morning. This music fires me up, also makes me sad. This should always be the SEC. But I digress. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Mike Wilson from the Knoxville News Sentinel. Mike, good morning. How are we doing?
Great. Yeah, you guys are making me feel like it's like an October Saturday right there with that music.
Rutgers, Iowa, baby. Let's go!
I just hear
Oh, can't get better than that.
We saw Gary Danielson walking around right in front of us the other day in front of Rex Road, and now this music just makes me think of Gary and then old Uncle Vern, too. It's good stuff. Very good stuff. Mike, we've been talking a lot about Tennessee heading into this week, the expectations with this group. Obviously, we know how good this offense was last year with Joe Milton stepping in. How good do you think this offense can still be, given the departures on the offensive line and obviously the departure at the quarterback position, too, with Hendon Hooker?
Yeah, I mean, I think you kind of have a sense of what Joe Milton can be, but the problem is you have a sense of how good he can be, but also how bad he can be. So that's where all this is going to be predicated, right? That's how Josh Heupel's offense works. If you have a really good quarterback, you're going to be pretty darn good on offense, just the way that things are built. I think they feel good enough about probably how the wide receiver position is. It's basically that group that you saw last year in the Orange Bowl along with Joe Milton to beat Clemson. I mean, Brew McCoy is back. Squirrel White looks like a guy who's going to be really, really good. So I think the offense has all the potential to be there. They just need the quarterback to play up to the potential, because everyone knows Joe Milton's arm and what he's capable of is through the roof. But if he puts that together, yeah, Tennessee could be pretty scary on offense again.
So are you going to be here today, Mike, or do you have another story coming for a recruit who picked another school but got some like money and cigars
other things
and stuff from Tennessee?
I will not be there today in Nashville.
Sorry,
buddy. Media
day. I know you're heartbroken.
Devastated. Fun fact, I've never been to SEC football media days, and it's like a point of pride.
That is amazing. But how about, is there more coming? You guys have been churning it out, you and Adam Sparks. I mean, the laying bare all of the misdeeds of the Jeremy Pruitt era. I mean, it's great work by you guys, but is there more coming? What is your prevailing takeaway from the entire thing now that it's over?
I'm sure there's more coming. I don't know. But it's kind of the widespread nature of all of it. I think when you first saw the NCAA findings on Friday, there was a sentence in it that just said more than 200 violations by at least a dozen staff members over a two-year period. And there was also a sentence, I think, just in the NCAA documents themselves that said they all went, none were self-reported. I mean, that is a widespread, a massive scope. And it's kind of wild to see the carelessness. The story we reported yesterday on one recruit's visit, ate at like seven different restaurants in a three-day period in October 2020. I mean, this is COVID. This player is 6'5" and 285 pounds. That person stands out. It was kind of reckless in so many ways of how Tennessee was doing this, how many people were involved. It's kind of shocking it didn't come out sooner, honestly, with just how many people were involved and how many people knew.
Mike, how realistic is it in your mind that Tennessee can hang in there and compete for the division this year with Georgia?
Yeah, I mean, Georgia's obviously layered recruiting classes a lot longer. When you have five-star backups, that's a pretty good situation. It's very Alabama in that nature. But the nice thing with Josh Heupel, and this has kind of been a line I've said since he got hired, is that offense always remains an equalizer. Even if there's still a talent gap there, that offense can close that gap pretty fast. But, I mean, Georgia has everything going for it. The question, obviously, is, what's the quarterback going to look like? Who's it going to be? How consistent will they be? Because, like it or not, Stetson Bennett was really good. I think sometimes it got chalked up to, well, he's surrounded by so much talent, and that certainly helped. And that offensive line kept him very clean. But Stetson Bennett also was really good and always in very much control of the game. So, yeah, Georgia's got that to figure out. But, yeah, talent for days. So I think Tennessee can be right there with them. I think they probably are the second favorite going to this season in terms of the East. South Carolina probably right there behind them. Florida, if they figure some things out too. So, yeah, Tennessee should be right there.
Okay, the 12-team playoff starts next year.
So, do not make me predict the 12 teams, Joe.
Oh, that's actually a good idea, too. I wasn't going to do that, now that you bring it up. No, the first 10 years of the 12-team playoff, how many times, and this is, of course, hypothetical, and the hypothetical is a hypothetical, including meaning that
nice.
He will, thank you, he will be, Robbie's had to shake his head on that one, that he will be with the Vols that entire time. Of those 10 years, how many times will Tennessee make the 12-team playoff?
Well, first off, let me say Grant Ramey would be immensely proud of that pun you just pulled off. I think you need to text him and let him know about it.
Brutal.
Man. Two would probably be that number I'd go with. It's going to be more open, but you've still got to win enough games. And it's hard to predict as it stands because we don't know how the SEC is going to go with scheduling. We don't know who Tennessee is going to face year in and year out, because right now Tennessee's obstacle to those types of things is they have to be able to beat two out of three of Bama, Florida, Georgia every year while not blowing any other games, which is what we saw last year, right? Tennessee blew South Carolina. Otherwise, they're probably in the playoff.
They're certainly in a 12-team playoff.
Yeah, they're probably in a 12-team playoff even with that loss. But, yeah, the way that it falls will be so much predicated on what the SEC does in scheduling, who Tennessee's guaranteed games are, when the rotating ones fall the way they do, if that's kind of the structure they go with. So, I'd go with two, just because Tennessee is going to be there. Because Josh Heupel's recruiting, man, like that was maybe one of the question marks. It was defense and recruiting, I think, were the two that people were not sure on. He is slaying on the recruiting trail right now. I mean, five-star wide receiver Mike Matthews picked Tennessee last night. So you start doing that and bring players like that into this offense, I'd probably be predicting more than two. But, yeah, safely with that scheduling element, I'm going to stick on two.
Mike Wilson with us here on Robbie and Rex. And Mike, you bring up the defensive side of the ball for Tennessee. What do you think that looks like for them this year? Obviously, and we've talked about this before, with as quickly as Tennessee moves up and down the field offensively, it can put a lot of strain on their defense with how long that they're out there. But how improved do you think they could be? Do you think they'll be improved on that side of the ball this year?
Yeah, I think that depends on how much stock you put in some individual performances against Clemson. Because Aaron Beasley was phenomenal at inside linebacker. Tanico Slaughter looked like an absolute dude on the edge at cornerback. And he had looked like that against Kentucky and showed some promise there. If he can be that kind of dude in the secondary, that's really exciting for Tennessee. Tamari McDonald, star, I thought, is a guy who can really take another leap. But to me, it's going to come down that front group. Is Omari Thomas going to be a star? He was a really highly rated recruit two classes ago and has had a lot of flashes and looked really good. But I think for all belief, it's going to be a better unit. But last year, I mean, this third down red zone, I mean, the struggles were there. And that certainly was limiting. Again, you point to the South Carolina game and giving up 60-some points to Spencer Rattler and his group. I mean, that was a defensive problem, obviously. So Tennessee shores that up. It's a lot different because if you've got a defense that can hold teams under 30 with this offense, you're winning most of your games.
You know what I got to do, right?
I do.
You know I've got to ask Mike Wilson a basketball question.
Yay.
Yes. Yeah, get excited. Chris Ledlam leaves. I kind of read that, and I know you guys had a little media session with the team the other day. But I mean, I kind of read that as maybe he didn't think that both Josiah and Santi would be back. What's your read on it?
So I think at the time of his commitment, it was kind of known enough that Santi was going to come back. That probably wasn't a factor, but. Yeah, I mean, the order of offseason movement there was Ledlam, or it was Gainey. I think it went Gainey, Santi, Ledlam, Dalton Connect, and then way later decided to come back. I read that decision as a compliment to Josiah Jordan-James and Tobey Awaka, because I think Tobey's come back like an absolute monster from Team USA, and I think it's also an indication of how Josiah Jordan-James is playing, that a guy who averaged 18-8 and 8-8 last year at Harvard is sitting on the sidelines after having knee surgery and thinking, uh-oh, because he's seeing how those guys are playing. So that's kind of how I read the situation, was just it's probably an indication of the depth that Tennessee has and the way those guys are playing, because Chris Ludlam's good. I mean, if he's a guy who stuck here and Josiah didn't come back, he's probably the starting four. So that's a talented guy, and he looked at the situation and said, uh-oh, and left. So that's an interesting indication of where Tennessee's at.
Well, Mike, great stuff as always, man. Really appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning, and we'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me.
Absolutely. Mike Wilson from the Knoxville News Sentinel, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Nick brought up the 1998 NHL draft yesterday in July, and Rexor brings up college basketball today.
Hey.
That's good stuff.
Hey, man. It's always basketball season.
That is true. Coming up next, it's time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road. You can check it out every morning at 7:45 here on the program. We will do that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just... well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
The driving cat, the cat who could drive a car.
It is that time of the day, time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road. You can check it out every morning at 7:45 here on the program. Joe Rex Road, the floor is yours. I turn things over to you.
How problematic is it when a person likes to go back and like read columns from years ago and like makes themselves laugh?
I mean
seriously, man. this calm, no thanks, SEC Media Day should stay in Alabama, not in Nashville. I mean, it is just, I kill myself. It's just amazing.
It's how good of a rider you are.
Yeah, well, right, yeah. No, but, the points that I make that I want to bring up here, not just, $1 million in economic impact, which Hoover, Alabama, where, by the way, Jeremy Pruitt cut his teeth as a high school coach and someday.
They ate some asparagus.
That's where we all find out he didn't know about asparagus. That matters to them. Also, I have been in the lobby a few times this week. I haven't seen much. I haven't seen anything interesting. In Hoover, who you have in Hoover? You have Alton White, the Paul Bear Bryant absolute lookalike. You also have the championship ring inflatable thing around his head.
Back in the day, you have Steve Spurrier wandering around an Arby's somewhere over there.
Well, that's true. I mean, if he was a coach, I guess he could find one here. But like some of these people who live there who make it so colorful and fun, I mean, they're not here. They're, in Atlanta, there was nothing interesting either. None of the Georgia fans had any fun. You got these Alabama fans, these women who always get Saban to autograph their Christmas ornaments. Yeah. Like it's anyway. I am going to complain about the SEC Media Days one more time today.
Okay, good.
Because I am now about to press the button on my ballot. Dude, let me just go through this, okay? This ballot, first of all, it's like you're ranking 8 defensive backs. You're ranking 8 defensive linemen. You're ranking 8 offensive linemen, et cetera, et cetera. Okay. We've got, okay, so place kicker, that makes sense. Punter, makes sense. You rank 2. Return specialist, rank 2. Okay. All purpose.
Yeah.
And it's like a lot of the same people. For example, Tulu Griffin from Mississippi State.
Yeah.
So what's the return specialist or all purpose? What's the difference?
There shouldn't be one.
And then there's kickoff specialist. And it includes, you can vote for returners or kickers.
What does that even mean?
Return specialist, all-purpose, kickoff specialist, and then long snapper.
Well, I've been studying those intently. I'm ready for that.
Like 4 of the categories on this.
Give me some Matthew Szalansky.
Like it's half of the thing. This is they've never done this before. Return specialist, all-purpose, kickoff specialist, which could all be the same person.
Correct.
And then long snapper.
My favorite is the kickoff specialist, where you have the option to vote for a kicker and or a returner, and the same thing because they do the same jobs.
Right. That's like saying like passing off or like pass play specialist, DB or receiver. Which do you like? Do you like the one who catches the pass or the one who stops the pass? You like the person kicking off? You like the person catching the kickoff? Which one do you like?
It's beautiful stuff from the SEC.
I complain too much about this whole thing. But, I mean, let's be real. Okay, I'm clicking it, okay? I'm clicking this. My ballot is submitted. And I have a lot of different things than you do. I know that, yeah. I do. I have a different champion than you do. Okay. I can tell you that much. Right. Oh, no. Wait. Oh, this is a second confirmation page. You are not finished.
Twice.
It just said, the last page said, you are not finished. Read over your thing. Okay, fine. Hit submit. Okay, and then it says, you are not finished. If you've completed your ballot, do not have changes. Please click. Dude, can I please submit this?
I think you can. Let's see what's next. One more time. That's it.
Oh, click here for a printable PDF file of your ballot submissions. Hell no. Look,
who's your champion?
Are we not allowed?
I don't know. Allowed to say? I mean, I threw mine out there earlier. Well, I threw my on one side earlier.
All right, I'll tell you. It's Alabama.
Okay.
I may be the only one. But I do worry about it.
Who's quarterback?
That's a good eight. I'm not going to give you my.
Okay, all right.
I'm not going through my whole ballot. I'll tell you my
champion. Quarterback for Alabama.
I'll tell you my champion. Oh, who's the quarterback for Alabama? Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's the Buckner.
Okay.
Yep. That's what I believe.
Yeah.
And yes, right. I think this totally sets up for Alabama to shut everybody up about how the program is going the wrong way. Or whatever people are saying.
Haven't we learned our lesson on that before?
I would think so. I mean, at some point, I guess it could happen. At some point, it could be true. I am definitely concerned about their quarterback situation. But usually, that guy figures it out.
I mean, I would be more concerned about the program going the wrong way one day, like if the recruiting stopped, I mean, I think last year's class was like the best recruiting class Nick Saban's ever had when he was there at Alabama. So, I mean, you know, some of that is to do with the number of people that they signed. I get that. But, like, I don't think they're going anywhere anytime soon.
No. Now, I don't think they're going to be – I think Georgia will be the pick. I think more people will pick Georgia.
I think Georgia will be the favorite.
But for the record, I'm going with Bama. So, keep that in mind. Bama, as the champion – Tennessee, 4 playoff appearances in 12 years. Or in 10 years.
In 10 years.
Yes.
Wilson only said 2.
Yeah.
Is he short-selling the Vols?
Well, look, as someone has pointed out on the text line, look, I mean, you bring in Texas and Oklahoma. It's a very good point about the schedule. It's so hard. There are going to be years where it's just it probably just lines up against you big time, right? But also, I mean, you can lose. There are going to be 3 lost teams in the playoff. So, I think that, you know, you bring in Texas, Oklahoma, LSU is going to be good. And like Mike said, I mean, even your quote-unquote easier games, you can't blow any of those like they did last year. It's not going to be easy by any means. But I think he is selling a little bit short. It's a safer pick.
I mean, the schedule part of it is interesting. If and when they go to a 9-game conference schedule, which – apparently, it's really difficult for the SEC to get there. I mean, we're really struggling to get to the 9-game schedule. There's been really nothing on that this week in terms of an update or what that looks like. I assume they're getting there at some point, but maybe that's just a faulty assumption on my part. But if they do that, what does the rotation look like? And they go the 3 kind of pod-style opponents. What does that look like for Tennessee? Is it Alabama? Is Florida in there? Is Georgia in there? Like, all 3 of them aren't going to be in there, would be my guess. Vandy's going to be in there.
Vanderbilt will be in there. I think Alabama and Vanderbilt and Kentucky.
Could be.
I think. So, yeah, and that has been reported as at least, you know, that's been spitballed. And, you know, it stinks to me that Florida, Tennessee would go away as an annual thing. It hasn't obviously been what it's been. But it still is it's a game that the fan base is, I think, still get into, or at least the Tennessee one. Maybe Florida fan base doesn't as much. I don't know.
Well, if Tennessee rolls off another one this year, then maybe it starts to rekindle things. I think it's important they go down there and win in Gainesville.
Yeah, and
they have to this year.
Yeah, well, and if they go get one, they could have a bragging rights a little bit and be like, okay, well, we're done playing you. But it wouldn't make up for utter domination, utter complete domination.
Correct.
But if that is what they get every year, it's not bad. That's not a bad outcome.
No.
I mean, you know, Vanderbilt and Kentucky, they both have gotten Tennessee. Not much with Kentucky, actually. That's the crazy thing. Vanderbilt's had more success than Kentucky. And they could get them. And they're both, I think Vanderbilt's going to get better. And Kentucky's good, but you could do a lot worse than that. Yeah, Alabama's not a great draw. But, I mean, you have to get that.
You're
going to
get somebody. Yeah.
And that tradition is... I mean, come on. I mean, it's such a – I mean, I know we're blowing up tradition left and right in this sport, but try to preserve some.
Yeah. I mean, you've got to keep that. I mean, look, I think from like Georgia's standpoint, I know that Alabama-Auburn is obviously going to be kept. Like, I think you can make a good case that they need to keep Georgia-Auburn too, although Auburn's going to be looking around and saying, great.
Yeah.
So we've got Alabama and Georgia in our permanent pod, as we've just had the whole time. It's great.
That's an interesting one because – a lot of people don't know. I didn't know until I moved to SEC country that, like, Georgia Auburn is the oldest
one.
But it's also, like, I just don't ever think of that game as anything that matters that much.
I know.
And if I'm out Auburn, nah, we're good.
Yeah, we'll do something else.
Yeah.
615-737-1025, our phone number. This has been the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning at 745 here on the program. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports. We'll get his thoughts on the DeAndre Hopkins signing with the Titans, how that impacts the Titans' bottom line, and a whole lot more. That's coming up next. The Game Summer Ticket Tour is headed to Bringle Smoking Oasis, located at 4901 Centennial Boulevard, this Friday afternoon from 2 to 6. You can come eat, drink, hang, and leave with a pair of free Sounds, Preds, Big Machine Music City Grand Prix, or concert tickets. Also, a chance to get signed up for the grand prize, which is Titans tickets, Preds tickets, and the 501 Club, and a 2-night stay at Opryland Hotel with access to Soundwaves. Black Tie Moving delivers the Game Summer Ticket Tour. For more details, visit thegamenashville.com/tour. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.